This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Welcome to AMR Answers. This is Sarah Bowen-Shay.
And this is Dimity McDowell coming in hot from Denver. How's it going, Sarah?
It goes very well, very well. I just got to see my occasional Friday co-host, Brittany Williams, and meet her baby, Blake.
Oh
my goodness. And Blake came into this world. She did not walk. She came into this world two months early.
So to say, is she walking right now?
Yeah, yeah. Oh my goodness.
Very precocious baby.
Yes. I do have to say she had a ton of facial expressions.
So how old is she now?
So she is 3 months old. And,
okay.
But so her birthday is April 4th, but she was supposed to be born at the end of May.
Okay.
And so she is, as you would say, a peanut, Dimity.
I love a good peanut.
Oh my goodness. Just a scrumptious peanut. Oh my goodness. And so, and you know, you have to treat preemies, obviously. So I almost had to sit on my hands because I really wanted to touch her a lot. And it was like, no.
Yes.
Don't touch the new baby. Don't touch the new baby. And so finally I said to Brittany, I said, you realize I'm really having to suppress my urge to just squeeze her, right? And she's like, oh, yeah. You can do that. You can do that eventually. So,
oh, good.
Anyway, yeah. So it was lovely to see Brittany, and she's looking great, and she's back to doing stuff for Sweat, and she is going to be starting teaching a bar class, which is her main jam. She's going to start teaching that sometime this summer. So.
Oh,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm glad to hear that everything is working out well for them.
Yes. Yes. So, and speaking of classes, I hear you are taking a new fitness class.
I am. Fitness is not what I would call it. I would call it a strength class. And I will tell you, this came about. I mean, I've been thinking about doing it for a while for a number of reasons. I teach, you know, Many Happy Miles strength on Tuesday and Thursday mornings. And I love that. I love it. But literally, like, there are days where I do not leave my house. Like, I go from the basement to my office, to the kitchen. You know, I mean, of course, like, I go outside and walk and stuff. But I just know that's not healthy for me, first of all. And secondly, you know, I've been writing this column for Women's Running about not running anymore. And one of the people that I interviewed is this woman named Britt Parker, who you probably remember, Sarah.
Yes,
I do. A longtime BAMer and is somebody who has taken a step back from running. She hasn't stopped running for sure, but she's reassessing where she is. And one of the things that she found was a strength class up where she lives. She lives somewhere near Boulder. I don't know exactly where. And her talking about it, I was like, okay, Dimity, like, this idea has been marinating for a long time. Let's go, you know, because even when I go to the rec center, like, I'm by myself. Like, I do the strength by myself. I do the treadmill workouts by myself. And, you know, of course, I chat a little bit with people if that situation arises, but it's not the group momentum that I enjoy, you know? So anyway, so I found this place called the Lion's Den, which I mean, I didn't want a CrossFit class. I knew I didn't want that, but I wanted something that was like more intense than a body pump class just because, you know, I'm 51. The whole thing is like lift heavy and I don't do that for myself very well. And I just wanted that. So anyway, so I've been to the Lion's Den a couple times and it is very, very humbling.
There's a sentence you don't hear very often.
Exactly. And I mean, it's great. It's exactly what I wanted. It's kind of, you know, it's a more intense gym. You know, they've got a big turf floor and a whole bunch of different, you know, weights and kettlebells. They have these things called maces, which I'd never seen before, which are like unweighted dumbbells. So like they're long poles. And then on one end is like 7 pounds, 10 pounds, 15 pounds. So like you're working with like an uneven you know, situation there. They have all the racks, so they, so you can do anything. So, and I like it because for two reasons: A, it really challenges me, and B, it really humbles me at the same time. and they kind of assume that, like, you have to go do a movement assessment before you go. I mean, not a movement assessment, but you kind of, you do a, they offer you a free week, and you can't just like email and say, I want a free week. Like, you have to go and show that you kind of have not knowledge, but that you're ready for a class, or they'll help you. Like, it's not, they'll say like, no, you can't come, but they'll shoot you into the right class. Right. You know, so that you don't feel overwhelmed. So anyway, so, so I've been doing things. I mean, I've been doing pull-ups, which, I mean, I've never done before in my life. Granted, it's with a band, of course.
Yes. Okay.
I was talking about the other day, and my neck has been really tight. And I'm like, Grant, I think it's because of I'm doing the pull-ups. And he's like, well, don't go all the way over the bar. I'm like, because I kind of showed him, like, I did a pull-up motion. And I kind of, like, lifted my chin, you know, when you kind of crank your neck back a little bit.
Like a turtle.
Yeah, exactly. And he's like, well, maybe you don't go over the bar. And I'm like, well, it's not, I mean, I'm using a band. It's not like all of a sudden, from never being able to do a pull-up in my whole life to all of a sudden age 51, like, oh, I step into lion's den, I can do a pull-up. But it's fun to, I've never done one even with a band, right?
Oh,
like,
I've
never, yeah. So, like, doing stuff like that is really cool. Like, the one day they were like, okay, you're doing, like, you know, five deadlifts and then five box jumps. I'm like, okay, I guess I'm doing box jumps. I find this, that, like, the short, I mean, people are like, literally, like, I feel like I'm in, like, Cirque du Soleil. They're like flying through the air. You know, it's all these younger people, it's co-ed, so there's a lot of, you know, really fit guys, and, like, you know, jumping up to, I don't know, 36 inches, 40, I don't know.
Oh, some boxes, just, I just feel like I'm going to do a sidewalk sandwich on them at any moment, and just all my teeth are going to be shattered around the gym floor. Like,
I
just worry about falling on it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I almost did. I mean, I did fall. So I picked a 12-inch box. I'm like, where's the shortest one I can find?
Yes. I'm like
scanning the area, 12 inches. Okay. And I picked a small one. I didn't realize that they were like stacked, you know, like they had probably like a 12-inch one on top of a 24-inch one or something like that, you know?
Okay.
So I could have separated them, but there is assistance there, but it's like a lot, like, you take care of yourself. You're in charge of yourself, right? You decide what you want to do. And so, so I'm jumping on this little box and I'm like, oh my gosh. And so, yeah, I mean, but when my legs got tired, I bit it hard, and I had, like, I really got my, got a nice bruise on my leg. I mean, that was fine, but it's more like my ego hurt more. You know, I did it right in front of one of the instructors, and I was like, oh, yeah, okay. Just suss myself off.
Oh, don't worry. No one saw it, I'm sure.
I know, exactly. So I'm so
inconspicuous. So, like, yeah.
Inconspicuous, exactly. So anyway, so that's what I've been doing. I've just been going twice a week, and I really like
that's
it.
A lot. That's great.
And I want to, and I want to be clear. I'm not they definitely help when I ask for help. I mean, like, I'm like, how do I set this up? You know, there's one guy named Ian. I'm like, Ian, I just feel like a baby giraffe. Like, I can't even like figure out how to do anything. He's like, okay, let's just break it down. You know, I mean, there's definitely help, but I also like that it's not like completely choreographed and completely like there's no choreography. So.
Oh, that's awesome. That's fantastic. Yeah. You found it, because I will agree that it can be tough to find a class that promises to be challenging enough, because I'm also looking for a strength class, because the studio where I worked at, the Refinery, it closed after 10 years. And
oh, shoot. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I somehow neglected to tell you that. So,
Banjo's bummed.
Yeah, Banjo's really bereft about that. And so no more working out with a personal trainer. I am a member of a gym, like a very full service gym where I swim, but it's, you know, a 20 to 30 minute drive. And I just look at the classes and I'm just like you said, you know, body pump isn't going to do it for me. You know, I'm super strong, very, you know, I got a lot of mass, and I got to challenge it sufficiently.
Yeah, agreed. And there's nothing wrong with a body pump class,
like,
it's just something that you want different, and I just want a different. So yeah, I googled strength classes, like there's strength conditioning classes or something like that, and then just spent some time on Yelp and those kind of things, just reading the reviews and stuff. And I mean, thankfully, this place literally is like 5 minutes from my house.
Oh,
I mean, I'm not kidding.
Awesome.
Like, I'm like, oh, maybe I should ride my bike there and come back. And then I'm like, oh no, help me to, like, because it's downhill on the way there. And then on the way back, it's quite a climb. I'm like, oh no, I'm not going to be doing that. So.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. And I do have to ask, because listeners might be wondering the same thing. Why was CrossFit a no-no for you?
Oh, I just felt like the intimidation factor was too mm-hmm. high. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's not that. I mean, I've definitely heard great stories about it. People our age going in and, mm-hmm. and finding their crowd. I don't know. My impression of it just probably my impression of it isn't accurate, but it didn't feel right for me. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. When I think CrossFit, the first thing I think is box jumps.
Yeah, exactly. Which, to be honest, I mean, I've done two sets of them now, they've been on 2 days, mm-hmm. and the first day I was fine. It was the second day that I flailed. So, and they also have rowing machines, which is fun. And so they like throw in like oh my little gosh. Like
30. Doesn't have to be like, fun to be fun, Dimity.
Exactly. Well, it's like they throw in like 30 seconds of rowing, or at the end you do like you row with a partner and to get, you know, to 2,000 meters together, you know, like you switch off and stuff. And so like
people
stuff like that is fun.
People are lining up to be your partner. They're like, I'll take the tall gal.
No, that's so funny. You know what, Sarah? So yeah, the first day or the day that we did the first rowing, I'm like, okay, I've like really like baby giraffe myself through this class, but I've got this rowing. Like whoever's going to be my partner, we are winning.
Yes.
No, we didn't win. Like everybody is, again, they just show up and are strong. So
then the next time you just casually wear your gold medal world champion for the 25 exactly. and under medal. Oh, this old thing.
No, actually I wore my stars and stripes unitard just in case, you know, in case they needed to.
Right. Who cares if it was completely threadbare in the butt, but man, you showed them.
Exactly. Who cares that the lycra has like sprung and like it didn't have it, you know, like, my top is falling out.
Oh, the good old days.
The good old days, exactly. Well, we're going to get to those later and draw our questions. Yes. Should we get going?
Yes. All right, we got Miwako, who's wondering about the 80-20 rule.
Hi, this is Miwako from Brooklyn, New York. I love your show. My question is, I know that in general, it is recommended to do 80% of your workout easy and 20% hard effort. And I've been going to a group run, which takes place a little bit far from my house. So I have to run to get there 3 miles, and then we usually do 2 miles of hard workout, and then I jog back also. So in essence, I'll be doing 6 miles, very easy, and then 2 miles hard workout. So I'm wondering, 80-20 principle also applies to one day, or should I be spreading 80% easy workouts on easy days and 20% on hard days? I really do enjoy running with the group, so I hope this is also the right kind of workout that I'm doing. Easy 80% and 20% hard. Thank you so much.
So thanks for the love, Miwako. I admire how deliberate you are in your training.
Yeah, I think that's really, I love that she has her, like the distances down and also mm-hmm. like the percentages down. And I love that she loves to go to the group runs, which is, yeah. it's really much, it's like we just talked about, it's a lot easier to do hard things in a group.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. So Coach Dimity, I admit, I'm just going to tee this one up for you, let you answer it. Cause to me, the ratio seems right. And that it, you know, am I wrong in thinking that it doesn't have to be easy days have to be completely easy and the hard only happens on hard days?
Yeah, totally. You're absolutely right. And she's got it right, too. I mean, really, that 80-20, it comes from Matt Fitzgerald. He wrote a book actually called 80-20, I think, or maybe he doesn't come from him, but he definitely popularized it in the running world.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I think definitely for that run, she's got it. And I mean, it either can be spread out across the week or it can be spread out in a run. I did a little math. It was really hard. So so hang with me here. And this is very cut and dry. And so obviously there are exceptions to these rules and it's not like you have to do the hard. And if you go a mile over in the hard, it's going to be okay. But if you run about 20 miles a week, you're going to want to do about 16 of those easy and 4 hard. Again, if you want to do hard, and 4 hard means, you know, to me, I would interpret that as, say you have like an interval run where you're doing maybe like 5 minutes on, 1 minute off, and you do that mm-hmm. for, you know, 4 miles total. That is your 4 mile hard run. It's not just because you had a minute off. That's not, you know, that's,
slice
you know,
that again, out, we're not going to,
yeah, we're not going to slice and dice. Yeah. So, mm-hmm. so 20 miles is 16 to 4, 25 miles a week is 20 to 5, and 30 mm-hmm. miles a week, you might guess, is 24 to 6. Mm-hmm. 24, that easy to hard ratio. So yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, the temptation is to do more hard because it feels really good mm-hmm. and hard, meaning like really, really sweat, kind of push yourself. You may not be going hard, hard, but you know, that like kind of gray zone we talk about sometimes in heart rate training or also here where you're just kind of getting in the miles, but you're not pushing hard enough to actually increase your anaerobic threshold or you're not going easy enough to increase your cardiovascular base. So it's mm-hmm. kind of like that middle in between, feel good, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. you know, again, try to keep it one way or the other.
I love you saying the temptation is to do more hard because it feels so good. I'm like, huh, I don't have that temptation very often.
I mean, I don't either. But like, even like this morning, so, you know, the Tour de France is going on right now, Tour de France, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And on Zwift, which is, you know, the program I use for riding inside, they always have like different challenges. And one of them is climbing all these routes that, you know, ooh. That they climb. It's, mm-hmm. you know, but the virtual version of them. And I'm like, oh, cool. This one is only it's the first one. It's like 2.6 miles and something like maybe 800 feet of climbing. It didn't feel like a lot. Mm-hmm. Holy cow. It was so hard. Like my heart rate got up to 174, which is pretty close to my max these days.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I guess that's kind of where I'm thinking is like, but that I'm like, well, that was kind of cool. Like I want to do that again, but mm-hmm. I'm going to wait for a couple days before I do that. It's a little bit different too with cycling versus running because the pounding isn't there, but
right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So your comment was fueled by that feeling that you got on this morning's workout.
I'm kind of still riding high from it. Yeah. Well, then I walked up the stairs and then we had the tour on. Or Grant had the tour on, and I was like, oh my gosh, like I just rode that. Yeah,
yeah. And Grant looks at you like, honey, yeah. do you feel okay?
Yeah, exactly. Like, where's your yellow jersey? Yeah.
Have you watched that 8-part series on Netflix about the Tour de France?
Yes, we've started it. So we uh-huh. watched it. I'm watching it with Amelia. Well, it's supposed to be watching with Amelia and Grant. Mm-hmm. And then Grant broke the watching rules, which, you know, does not go over well in our house. So he's finished. But I am waiting for Amelia. She's been dog sitting for a while. So I think we're on like number 4 or 5 right now. But okay. I think they do a really good job, don't you?
So I started watching. I've only watched just a couple. Is the entire thing subtitled or is some of it in English?
I mean, it's pretty much subtitled because they're following foreign teams. We don't have an American. Okay. Yeah. So why are you not a fan of subtitles?
No, I do. I like subtitles, but I was just kind of tired and I wasn't up for reading.
Yeah, sure.
Up for letting the show wash over me rather than having to look at the screen the whole time.
So we watch just one at a time for that reason. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes I'm like, you want to watch another one after we finish? And she's like, no, I'm kind of good. And I'm like, yep. And so you kind of, but I think they do an awesome job of explaining like the chess game of a bike race, you know, because it's very, it's not just like who gets to the finish line first. It's, you know, who's on your team, who's leading you out, who's going back to get your food, how it all works. I mean, basically, So this morning when I was watching, I felt much more educated.
Very good. Very good.
Yeah.
Well, if that's not your cup of tea, the Wham documentary, just one, on Netflix is quite good.
Is it good? I just started last night. I want to see that one. And I just started last night the Michael J. Fox one. It's called Still on Apple. Mm-hmm. I like that one too. It's cool. I mean, it's obviously hard to watch because of his Parkinson's, but I love how funny is about it. And I just love hearing about people's like beginning of their careers, you know, like he moved from Canada, like, you know, with no money, like was basically about to move back. And that's when he got Family Ties and they weren't going to cast him in that.
Wow.
Because the guy said that they couldn't see him on a lunchbox and they wanted someone they could see on a lunchbox. So anyway.
Oh my goodness. Wow. And then Back to the Future. Bam! Got some lunch boxes there. All right. Well, let's hear from the brands that allow us to bring you this free content. Please consider supporting them since they support us. We'll be back soon with more Q's and A's.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Okay, this is Heather asking about running on work trips.
Hi, Sarah and Dimini. This is Heather from Ohio, and I'm calling in about a question regarding running while traveling for work. Traveling this week and last week for work, and not training for anything right now, so I just want to get out and run for 30, 45 minutes, an hour, something of that sort. So my two questions are is, one, how do you pack for that? I am somebody who doesn't normally rewear clothes, but, you know, I'm trying to limit how much I actually bring with me. And then two, how do you find running routes that are safe, you know, things of that sort? Because, you know, I'm in Boston this week, which isn't that big of a deal, but being able to find a safe running route to be able to get a few miles in. Thanks so much. Bye.
I thought this was a great, both of them, great timely questions since it's summer travel season, whether you're traveling for work or pleasure.
Yeah, totally. And it's always good to kind of be prepared to run, because that's one of the best ways to see a new spot is go for a run.
Mm-hmm. So true. So true. So let's unpack these two questions, Dimini.
Does it fit in an overhead bin, Sarah?
So I recently asked a question on our Facebook page, is a TMI Tuesday question. And it was about me when I talked about that I had gone, I was a chaperone on a trip to Pittsburgh with John's dance company. So I kind of asked people like, oh, you know, so I rewore these things and blah, 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 blah. What do you do? And I was pretty taken aback by how almost appalled some people were by my admission that I wear a running outfit more than once on a trip without washing the garment. You know, that just let it dry over the, you know, the vent or whatever.
And then you kind of put it back on and it's a little crunchy. You're like, okay, well, it'll just mold again once I start sweating again, right?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. But I mean, people just were like, oh, if you do that. I was like, wow, okay, well.
Wow.
So to each her own. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. To each her own. I mean, I would say, like, I typically want some new bottoms just because I just feel like I don't like the bacteria buildup down there and want to, like, minimize any chance of a yeast infection or anything like that. But I will sometimes rewear a bra or a top. It just depends, but it also depends on the season, right? In the summertime, I probably wouldn't, because it takes up less room to pack a tank than it does to pack like a long sleeve and a coat, right? It just depends. But I mean, I definitely have worn, like, doubled up, but I think that you might take that to a whole nother level.
Hey now. So it's interesting that you say that occasionally you'll rewear a sports bra. For me, over the years, I've learned that I always overpack on the number of socks and sports bras that I'll wear. And that I just have finally learned to be like, no, Sarah, you're going to be gone for, there'll be two mornings you're going to work out. You can wear the same sports bra and the same socks for both those workouts.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's definitely a thumbs up for me. I think you can minimize the number of socks and sports bras.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, from the people who were castigating me on Facebook, lovingly so, there are some suggestions. People reminded us that you can wear your running clothes into the shower to clean them off.
I think that's a brilliant idea.
Yeah,
that's
kind
so
of
smart.
It's a BOGO, isn't it, Dimini?
Yeah, it is.
Your favorite. Or people will bring along a travel size bottle of sport detergent, like our favorite Sweat-X, to wash your workout wear in the hotel sink, and then, you know, dry it over the shower rack or whatever. So there are ways to get your clothes clean, even if you don't search out a laundromat like some of our retreaters always do. Shout out to
Janice, Janice and Courtney.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, the other thing too, just about saving space. I mean, if you can, if your style and your destination can handle it, wearing your running shoes on the plane mm-hmm. often mm-hmm. saves space. I mean, packing for the retreat, speaking of which, I mean, I basically had to, anytime I have to like pack any number shoes. Of shoes that are not shoes. Like mm-hmm. Birkenstocks, you know, are, I basically need to like check because of the size of my feet.
That's the thing. All these people for our retreats are always like, oh yeah, I'm you know, just bringing a carry on. I'm like, How do you have enough room for those shoes? Is it just that yeah. you and I have canoes or what
yeah.
is it?
Yeah, we have water. We have canoes. I have water skis. So, or actually, I have canoes and you have water skis. One's shorter than the other. But yeah. And it's like, oh, well, I can stuff, you know, all my underwear in them and a couple sports bras in the other. And still, it's just not, it just does not work. So.
Oh, yeah. No, we need like Kalang shoes or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Those. I don't know about the support on those puppies. And then you should see, Sarah, I've been wearing, I bought a pair of like old school leather hiking boots on the advice of my podiatrist for these hikes that I'm going to be doing. And I mean, they're awesome. I love them. They fit like a glove. They support my ankles. That's what I need. And they don't slam. My toes don't slam quite as much into them going downhill. That's the main reason why I asked for them and to protect my ankles, because as we know, I'm a little clumsy. But holy cow. I mean, you know, those need a suitcase by themselves.
You need a second seat on the airplane for them.
Seriously.
A seatbelt extender to track those backwards.
Well, that's just her poles and her shoes. And as far as finding like safe running routes, I mean, that's obviously a great, great question. And I mean, the two things that come to mind for me are always asking at the front hotel desk. Like they will point you in the right direction, because even if I'm like, oh yeah, Minneapolis is a great city to run in, but I don't know exactly the best routes and how to get to the lake from where you are. So I think, you know, asking, and they often will have sometimes a little map, like the Westin for a long time had that like kind of running concierge program.
Oh, totally.
They still do.
Totally. But, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or, you know, Strava or Map My Run, you know, just looking online and just Googling like popular running routes, you know, it's almost like you need to get there and then kind of see where you are. I guess you could do it before if you know where your hotel is, but I often just, you know, that's kind of the way that I kill time a little bit at night is the next day. Oh, what am I going to do?
Totally. Also, because you can think that I'm thinking in my mind of Austin right now, you can think that you're right near that, you know, Lady Bird Lake. And then you get there and it's like, oh, there's three freeways that I need to get under, get over, like, you know, and
so, run across. So, I don't know.
Right. So there's a certain lay of the land aspect of getting there and seeing what it all really look that is
nice. Agreed. Yeah.
Go
ahead with you have this other great suggestion in front of me. Well, and I'm not going to steal your thunder.
It's not genius, but it's so Heather, I was thinking that, you know, depending on Heather's schedule and if she's good at running in the evening, that I thought maybe she could reach out to a local running store and join a group run, you know, typically they're depending on the city or where it is you are, you know, you might not be anywhere near a running store, but you know, if you're willing to splurge on a Lyft or an Uber, that, you know, that can be a nice little treat. And then maybe just scrimp on the dinner that you're having or something. You know?
Yeah. I love that. Well, you know, that brought to mind Sarah. So we were at Saint City Running for the Twin Cities Marathon last year, which is the sister store to Mill City Running. So Saint City is in St. Paul and Mill City is in Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. And they had these awesome, and I'll see if I can find it. We'll put it up on Instagram if I can, these awesome maps on the wall that were printed that you could take with you. Like they were the size of maybe a little bigger than index cards. And they, you know, they had 3.7 miles, 5.4 miles, whatever. Mm-hmm. They were running from the store, but you know, so if you happen to love to, like, if you're a connoisseur of like running stores, if I always like to go into local running stores just to kind of, you know, sniff it out, see what they have.
Get a cute hoodie, you know, that then I get end up envying because it's so adorable and you found it. Yeah.
Exactly. So that's another thing. You know, if you happen to be near a running store, you could ask there. And again, they may have a map for you.
All right. Well, speaking of Minnesota, we got Lisa who wants us to relive a bit of our former glory.
Hi, Sarah and Dimity. It's Lisa from Central Minnesota. Happy summer. I was just listening to answers while I was running and thought, you know, I bet it's been about a decade since since Dimity did her Ironman, and since Sarah, you maybe had your PR marathon or last BQ, and just kind of wondering if you guys want to share some for us memories of those races or of a favorite race or triathlon. It's always fun to hear people kind of relive some of those last, or just relive after the fact, I guess, some of your favorite accomplishments. So I think that would be awesome. Have a great day. Bye.
Well, Lisa, it's always great to hear your voice. And I should confess that Lisa is the now mother of three boys who I ran alongside for the final few miles of my last marathon, which somehow was 6 years ago, the Twin Cities Marathon.
Ah, that's crazy. That's crazy. Well, I mean, my Ironman was 10 years ago. Like, that's so funny. And I've been meaning to, you know, we've been cleaning stuff out around here. And I've been using my, I got one at my Ironman water bottles, I've been using them. I sometimes finish the thought in my head and then I don't say it out loud. My kids are like, mom, finish your thought. And I'm like, okay, sorry. So anyway, for some reason I have 3 to 4 Ironman water bottles. And like they used to, you know, it's like the good china. Like you're like, oh, but I can't use them because if it breaks, I'm going to be really upset. Like if I lose it or, you know, it, you know, whatever, I lose the top. I'm like, screw it. I am freaking using these. Of course, I take them to my strength class, actually. I'm like, I may flail on the box jumps, but I did an Ironman once, I promise.
Oh my goodness, I love that. They're like the good china. That's getting quoted, Timothy, just so you know.
Well, I've been meaning to, like, I mean, I think about it a lot. I will confess, I did not just come up with that. I'm like, what do I do with this? Like, what's what, you know, like, but yes, I'll take a picture of it for you.
Okay, very good. Very good. And we'll put the quote on it. Boom, social media. So Lisa, your request intrigues me because, Dim, you might find this hard to believe, but I don't often reflect back on running races, but I adore replaying exciting pickleball points in my head, like hours after a game.
You can remember them. Like, you can remember how they go?
I can remember a really good shot, you know, good down the middle or, you know, just catching the back corner, that type of thing. And I don't remember the final score of any of most games, but, you know, so it's an exciting pickleball point, or oftentimes as I try to go to sleep at night, if I've gone swimming in the pond that day, I'll relive it in my mind. So I do that, but I don't too often reflect back on running races. So Dimity, how often do you think back on in an athletic endeavor?
I mean, I think back, I mean, when Ironman pops up in my feed, like, yes, I think back to that. But I don't necessarily think back to like this. I mean, because I wrote about it and I've read that a couple of times, you know, like I think back to that part of it. Same thing with the Twin Cities 10 miler. I mean, I remember I just had this amazing race once and I can't remember when it was, but it was probably like the running race of my life as far as like effort and fulfillment and just feeling it. So I think back to that a lot, or not a lot, but I think back to that some. But other than that, I mean, it's mostly just random, you know, like things just flit through your mind, like, oh, that, you know, I'll see an ad for like the 4th of July race that we just had around here. And I did that 4 miler once in Wash Park and almost like quit at mile 3.7. So I'll think about that, you know, when I see the ad for it.
So there is not a standout since Lisa did specifically ask for Ironman. Is there, so you mentioned the swim. Why does that jump to your mind?
Oh, I just remember standing on the shores of the swim. I remember coming in off the, I remember that last little, it was 2 laps of a swim, basically, you know, 2 laps around these buoys. I remember coming down the final buoy the last time feeling, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is almost done. I remember the feeling on the bike, but I don't remember any kind of specific thing. And then the run, I remember, you know, just feeling like, I remember actually.
Don't say you remember just being in the porta potty.
No, I remember I think I talked about this on the podcast, but, you know, again, this was also, it was like a 2 lap thing. Like the first time through, you're just like, I don't know if I'm going to make it, you know, but then you kind of finish it, that one, and you're like on your way, and then you're on your way home. And I remember I was wearing our blue Badass Mother Runner tank, and one of the volunteers was like, oh yeah, Badass Mother Runner. And I like threw a piece of ice at him kind of as a joke, you know? And I was like, oh my gosh, maybe that was really inappropriate, but I totally remember that. I remember feeling so good that I was like, oh my gosh, I'm almost done. I wasn't almost done, but I've done this thing. I'm still feeling good enough. I have a sense of humor. And I just, yeah, I remember that little bit. I don't remember the finish line very well.
You don't, gosh, because that's the best photo ever of you the high five and down that chute.
Yeah, yeah, that was a good picture, but I don't remember really doing that. Yes, I kind of do when I see the picture, but it's as far as like putting my body in that spot is, I only do it with the picture. What about you? What about you? What do you remember from your last BQ attempt?
Yeah, so that was 2014 Victoria Marathon up in British Columbia. And Molly, my best running friend at the time, now still a very close friend of mine, that she had to drop months before, had to drop her registration from the marathon down to the half marathon. So she was well done with her race. And I vividly remember seeing her, I want to say it was about a mile from the finish line. And I just felt so supremely confident that I was going to nail my goal. I felt that way for several miles leading up to seeing her. And then I was just so elated to see her. And just, I just felt like I was on cloud nine at that point.
Isn't that the best feeling? It's just it's so amazing when the work that goes into getting there is laborious, monotonous, hard. But holy cow, when you put it all together on those special days, doesn't it just make you just give you the goosebumps still?
It does. And somehow there's this magic of all those runs doing something at a cellular level. And I'm kind of twitching my hands as if I'm holding those cells in my hands as I talk. That then it can all come together and metamorphosize into such a positive experience and able to hit accomplish something that 3, 4, 5, 6 months before you never could have imagined doing.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're like, wait, where did this come from? And yet it's within us all. You just have to, again, put in the work, commit all that stuff that we know we need to do. So
Oh, well, that was fun. Thank you, Lisa.
Well, and the other thing that I want to say about that quickly, because I saw this question prior to us talking, and you know, when I wrote that article for Runner's World about it, it was about being epic, and yes, the picture was epic. It's one of my like highlights of my publishing career, but I remember writing about it and saying that like epic is defined in different ways, right? And I said like in 10 years, it may be doing a 10K on a trail. For me, you know, kind of a little bit, you know, woo-woo scary that I knew that, but, or that I wouldn't even be doing that. But I just, you know, I think sometimes we tend to, especially as we get older, I love talking about the golden days, but I also want to like remember, and I'm saying this out loud because it's hard for me a lot of days, and you know, you may have had like your best athletic performances a decade ago or whatever, but that doesn't mean that you can't still find a lot of fulfillment in however you move these days. And it's just, they're all just different chapters. And, you know, the best thing you can do is try not to compare.
Exactly. Yeah. The thing I've been loving so much lately is I've talked about before, the color of the water of the pond where I swim is just this deep emerald green, and we've just had a lot of sun this summer, and just seeing the shafts of light cut through that emerald green, it's like a special effect from a movie or something like that. And it's almost like being, I don't know, like a discotheque or something. And I just think those light beams have traveled so far, and that's where I'm meeting them. And it's magical and enchanting, and I never tire of it. I swam there 3 days in a row, and each time was like, oh, I'm so happy to be here.
That's awesome. And you are very good. Just like you're good at reusing your clothes, you're very good at always noticing that kind of thing. I'm getting a lot better at noticing that kind of thing. It's not just like charge all the time when I'm, except for, you know, when I'm climbing on Zwift and I need to, you know, prove that I'm ready to hang with the yellow jersey or something like that. I don't know. But yeah, but noticing all those details and just soaking them up and being grateful and present is such a gift.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. Well, these, as you often say, Dimity, these were all great questions, and we are hungry for more. If you have a question, please call and leave a message at 470-BADASS1. That's 470-223-2771. Leave your first name and where you're calling from. Please keep your message to a minute or less, and that number is always in our show notes.
Awesome. So if you want to have a race like Sarah and I were just talking about, a BQ attempt, a PR in your marathon, an Ironman, whatever it is, something that you care a lot about, you have got to pay attention to your nutrition. I have seen it so many times in the Train Like a Mother Club where people are really diligent about their training, but you know, it's not until they get to week, like halfway through their training block, and they're like, oh, I needed to think about how much I need to eat on the run. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean to sound harsh, but if you're not thinking about it, you're doing your training and yourself a disservice. So the good news is that we have a 5-star program written by ultra runner Stephanie Howe, who has her PhD in exercise science and nutrition. Mm-hmm. The program is called Nutrition for Running, Half Marathon and Marathon, and it's just $25. For that, you get a comprehensive packet that details how to eat before, during, and after all types of runs, as well as a webinar and a podcast where Stephanie and I talk through all the materials. So if you're investing the time in your training, invest in your nutrition as well. You're not going to regret it.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. Our podcast today was produced in St. Paul, Minnesota by Barry Medour from Fire on the Bluff.
Keep those questions coming. We're here with the answers. And Sarah, I think we need a little wham, like sing out from you. What do you got?
Wake me up before you go, go. Don't leave me hanging. I'm going solo.
Something like that. Good job.